reminder to media members on the call, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches here this morning, and we'll work those questions in as soon as we can. We're now joined on the call by the head coach of the Towson Tigers, Pat Scarry. Good morning, Coach Scarry.
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning. A couple of hard-fought games for you guys since we last talked. Come from behind to beat Charleston 83-77 in overtime at home, and then lose a tough one up in Boston on Saturday 69-62 at Northeastern. Go back and review the two games for me.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head. It's, you know, I think it's probably normally the case playing us. It's going to be a war. We were fortunate in Charleston. I thought we were on the ropes a couple of times, and then fought back. The guys could have buckled. We were down three with like a minute six left, and the kid Rilla literally threw in like a 34-footer at the end of the shot clock and just turned and heaved it. And then we fought back quickly and took the lead by, you know, one with 21 seconds left. Well, Deason, we were up late, and then, you know, we kind of folded late. We played, obviously played two very good teams. Our guys knew that. It's a quick turnaround traveling. We just, you know, we kind of beat ourselves late. We committed way too many silly fouls late in the Northeastern game. And I just didn't get the message probably across quite well enough. We knew we'd take Northeastern's best shot, you know, whatever that was, and just, you know, we kind of hurt ourselves late. But it was a good environment up there, and then, yeah, they're a good club.
Your team able to score 83 points in against the nationally ranked defensive team in Charleston, somebody, a team that hadn't let up even close to that number of points. What were you able to do so well offensively in that game against them?
Well, you know, we got the ball to the posts. Davis and Moto really hurt them inside, and then we were dominant on the backboards. I don't think there's any secret if we can get out in transition and then get on the backboards, you know, we can score the ball. A lot of people can talk about our shooting. I think where we struggle is when, like against Northeastern, we knew we'd see zone, and we committed too many fouls, and then, you know, the game becomes a little bit of a, they can't get out in transition, and, you know, maybe we don't get to the glass as much. But in the Charleston game, you know, obviously the game went up and down, maybe a little bit more than probably people would have thought, especially because a year ago the game was in like the low 40s. But they got good players that can score the ball too. I think we do too. We just we still don't have everybody scoring the way they're capable of. But that night we were able, like I said, you know, run some post-ups and really get on the glass. I think we rebounded by 14 in the second half, and that was really the big difference in the game.
We're here with Towson head coach Pat Scarry. If you have a question for him this morning, just hit star one on your keypad. I want to kind of jump ahead a little bit to Saturday, which is always a big day for you, the autism awareness game that you and Tom Herring have done such a great job of building over the years. And can just talk about some of the plans for the game on Saturday and how rewarding it's been for you to see the way that this program has grown and across the country.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. You know, I'm thankful. We're going to have close to, I think, 400 schools throughout the country wearing the pins, the blue puzzle piece of felt pin that, you know, it's called autismspeaks.org, and we have a program coaches piling forward, and we do a really good job on our campus, Rob. There'll be about 15 different organizations represented, and, you know, we'll get the word out, provide a lot of information, and then this will be the one weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't watch any tape at night. I'm just going to watch all the games on TV with the coaches wearing the pins. So I'm excited about it. And my wife actually asked me last night, she said, why are you playing a good team, like, weren't even married to this game? I said, it wasn't by design. I said, we always do it in February after Coaches vs. Cancer. And then because Tommy Herring's my partner in this, we both want to have a home game, and this is the only Saturday home game that works. So I wish we had Goucher coming into the game, but it didn't work out that way. But I appreciate Tony and his guys participating. It'll be a good event, and two good teams playing. But it's a chance. I think coaches get criticized a lot for, you know, when things go bad. Our coaching brethren, I can't say enough about them. Helping to support the cause. They're very appreciative of it.
As this program has taken off nationally, as you said, really to across the country, how do you feel like it's made an impact to your cause and brought awareness to the autism?
Well, it certainly has. It's the largest growing developmental disorder in the world, and it affects 1 in 68 children. So the prevalency rates, as they continue to rise, everyone's going to be know someone that's on the spectrum. And you know, for us, it's like I said, it's an awareness piece. You know, I want people to realize how productive people that are on the spectrum are to society. Like the guy that's going to do our PA is. An autism student at our campus who's tremendous, and he's been at practice all week, and I've been pumping him up, and we've had singers and a band play and a lot of the video stuff, and so it's you know, we were smart enough to just use a little platform here to get coaches to do it, and I think because a lot of big time guys will have the pin on it, people take notice and hey, what is that, and hopefully you can educate some people. That's my long term goal. Is it's like any program, how do we make the game better? And then, two, at some piece, some point, do we get to call it an autism acceptance game, not an awareness game?
We've reached the midpoint point of conference play. I've spoken with all the coaches about 10 games in the books, 4 weeks until the conference tournament. Hey, your team obviously got off to a slow start, but has vaulted up the standings since then. Talk about what you've done well and what you'd like to see your team do better here over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, we know we can't get that first week back, and that wasn't good. You know, I really like the group. We still have not been consistent. Funny you said, I looked through all our numbers last year, and we pretty much have the same numbers. I still think our two best players, especially Morcel, who's really gifted, and then Moto's been better, but he wasn't great Saturday. Those guys have to be consistent in order for us to get where we want to get. Now, with that said, I mean, there's not a lot of told our guys yesterday, you're still like 94th in the RPI. You don't see that a lot at 13-10. We've scheduled aggressively. We've had a tough conference schedule. And I really like the group, and I do believe we can get there. I just think we've just got to be a little bit more urgent, like consistently. I don't want to use a ton of cliches, but we're not far off, but this is the time of year when we've had good teams. They become incredibly locked in, and not that we can't be beat, but we become a difficult out. And I hope this group is ready to do it. I think they are, but you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know,
Drexel next up on the schedule on Thursday, a team you haven't seen yet, and with a new head coach and Zach Spiker, as you've started to study the Dragons a little bit, obviously playing a little different style than they did under Brew for so many years. What are some of the challenges that they present? What have you seen as far as a difference in preparation for them?
Yeah, we've watched a lot of tape on them. They got terrific freshman guards, and, you know, I mean, Rodney Williams is like RoboCop. I mean, he just plays so hard and physical. He rips the rims down. So you can see Zach's doing a really good job. You can see his influence on. They're going to shoot transition threes. They run a lot more spread ball screens and Princeton action. And then you still see Coach Flint's influence, and they have big, big physical bodies. You know, it's we're home. We're expecting a good environment, and it's you're playing another CAA foe, and you just know that if you don't play well, you got trouble. So I think for us, it's, you know, transition defense and taking away the three-point shot is going to be major points of emphasis.
All right, Pat, thanks as always for your time here this morning, and I look forward to talking to you again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, thank you.